Welcome to Tiny Spark, where we take a close look at nonprofits, philanthropy, and international aid. I'm Amy Costello. We're going to talk about racism and inequity in the United States, in particular, what philanthropy's role should be in alleviating it. And we're going to keep challenging philanthropy on this issue in the weeks and months ahead, because right now, I'd argue, there are few things more important for us to be working on in this country. And it seems like those with billions of dollars to give must be part of the conversation and the solution. I've been surprised to see that philanthropy has been relatively silent about the recent deadly events in Minnesota, Louisiana, and Texas. Foundation's main reason for existing, after all, is to help people live better lives. Grant Oliphant is one Foundation leader who has spoken up. He's president of the Pittsburgh-based Heinz Endowments, which is among the 50 largest foundations in the nation. They give away more than $70 million a year, mostly in southwestern Pennsylvania. In a couple of recent blog posts, Oliphant admitted he was floundering in the wake of the recent killings of black men by police and the subsequent sniper attack that took the lives of five police officers in Dallas. I asked him to read a little bit from his blog post.
Words rarely fail me, but they have failed me today. There's so much to be said, but every time I try to speak about it, to draw a coherent thought from the jumbled welter of my feelings, all that emerges is a plea. Enough. Stop it. No more. But I am not entitled to my silence. None of us are. Not now. Not in the face of this.
But Oliphant ends his blog with a promise, saying, "This is what I have to give. To say on behalf of our institution, yes, yes, we see it. We see it, and it is not okay. To say we will do our part. To protest along with you. Enough. Stop it. No more."
It was important for me to say precisely these words and to say that we were committed to being part of the solution, even though we don't know exactly what that looks like, but to make a firm statement that this was something we had to act on and is part of the notion of bearing witness.
And so the Heinz Endowment does in fact plan to take action about the extreme racial tensions that we're facing in this country right now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Heinz Endowments has been working in this area for a number of years. We've been notably a leader in this community on raising issues of race. And the tensions in Pittsburgh really mirror the tensions in the country at large. We have said for years around here, after Ferguson, that Pittsburgh could be the next Ferguson. And after the events of last week, we have no illusions. We could be the next place where that happens. We don't want to be. And leaders in the African American community have made it very clear how high the stakes are here. We've been very attentive to the issue for years.
But I think a lot of people in this country are feeling like the status quo is no longer enough. And it sounds like your organization has done a lot for the African American community in Pittsburgh, but I sensed in your blog, and I think a lot of us are feeling, that the status quo no longer is sufficient. And I'm just wondering if these events are causing you to feel like your organization has to do more and maybe even go out on a limb more politically, because as you well know, philanthropy has been critiqued for not getting into these highly contentious issues, for not supporting Black Lives Matter enough, for not doing more about gun reform, that they take a back seat when it comes to issues that are contentious and political and highly charged. And what are your thoughts about that today?
Well, I think all of that is true. And to think about the work that we had done and to realize that, as proud as we might be of it, it isn't sufficient, and it hasn't changed the experience on the ground, and we need to do more. So precisely what you said, I think, is what I was feeling as I wrote that blog. Obviously, we need to do more. You know, if you think about the fault lines of American society and what is where we are most at risk, this is it. And if we want our community to prosper, we clearly need to do more. And it is a role for philanthropy, because we do straddle, you know, we play this weird role where we straddle the establishment and, if we're doing our jobs well, the community closer to the ground. And we have a capacity to bring the establishment to the table and to urge the establishment or push the establishment to come to the table. And I think that's on us. I think that's a piece we have to get a lot better at.
And of course, I mean, in a lot of ways, philanthropy itself is the establishment, and philanthropy itself has a diversity problem. Data shows that just 7% of foundation boards are comprised of people of color. And these boards, they are very influential. They frequently steer the strategic missions of foundations. They weigh in on grant-making decisions. And do you think enough is being done by philanthropy itself to address its own diversity problem?
No, of course not. I will say that I have watched the field improve over the years, and we're not a monolith. There are just so many different foundations out there, and I think the larger foundations have by and large made an effort, if they can, to bring diversity to their boards and diversity to their staffs. But we have a long way to go, clearly. One of the reasons that Darren Walker at Ford has struck a chord is that he's been willing to talk about these issues and retool the focus of the foundation to bend it around the equity issue and equality issue.
Darren Walker being the head of the Ford Foundation, one of the nation's largest, and they recently announced that they would be totally putting all of their focus into the issue of inequality.
Right. He is held in enormously high regard among my colleagues and certainly by me for what he's doing there. But what we also have to acknowledge is that that example is still rare. And the willingness of the field to say this is a crisis and an emergency and we need to act on it, that's not something that foundations have historically been good at. But I also think that it's important to acknowledge when circumstances change and that emergencies are happening and you have to respond to them.
And do you think that philanthropy can really address the crisis that we're facing domestically with respect to race when it is, by and large, so white?
You know, this is the cardinal issue of at the heart of philanthropy around much of what we do. Martin Luther King has referenced it. Darren Walker has referenced it. Phil Buchanan, the Center for Effective Philanthropy, where I'm the chair of the board, by the way, has commented on it. The question is, can money that is the fruit of a system then begin to change the very system that gave it birth? And I think the only way we can ultimately answer that question in the affirmative, Amy, is that we make it overt and we address it consciously. I will not predict to you yet whether we are capable of doing that. I do think that that is what philanthropy is being called to do, is to figure out how to accomplish that. If we don't respond to the fault line around equity in our society right now, particularly around race, around poverty and the widening divide between those folks who have and those who don't, we're going to fundamentally fail in any mission we have, be it the environment or the arts or education, because that will tear us apart. So it is the test for philanthropy. I think this is not just a test for our society, but it's a test for every institution in our society. And what it calls us to do is to be braver than we have been and to tackle the sort of issues that you're raising.
Yeah, I mean, just in preparing to interview you, our producer Amy Ta and I were looking around trying to find other foundations who had addressed in the way that you had in your blog the incidents of the past days and weeks. And we came up pretty dry. It seems to me that foundation leaders, by and large, have been pretty silent still. Does this surprise you?
You know, I have a very sad feeling right now. It makes me sad to hear that. I confess that where I have focused my attention over the past week is on my community. I've been very focused on Pittsburgh and what's happening in Pittsburgh as opposed to what's happening in philanthropy more generally. I suppose on some level it doesn't surprise me, but it certainly saddens me. I think we need to be better than this. And I don't want to lecture my colleagues because I don't know the circumstances of any of them. I don't know why that is. But I will say we need to be better than that. And our field, I truly do believe that philanthropy is facing a critical test like most of the major institutions in our society, and it is a crisis of relevance and it's a crisis of meaning. And if you think about the purpose for which we were created, I fundamentally believe it was not to be a Band-Aid, it was to change society for the better. That's the original articulation of the work that Andrew Carnegie did when philanthropy was born in this town over a century ago. And it was not to make himself feel better by giving away money, it was to change society. And if we're not brave enough to do that, then what are we doing this for?
Just briefly, I'm surprised to hear you say that you're not surprised that your colleagues have been silent. Why aren't you surprised that your colleagues have been largely silent on this issue?
We're often silent. I think our sector is often silent. I think our sector is often afraid. I came up in this world through communications, and I spent a lot of years being a very lonely communicator in the foundation arena. And there is an ethos in philanthropy that still, I think, haunts the profession. One part of that ethos is the notion that, well, we're doing good works, you know, we should let them speak for themselves. The second piece is that there is a confusion between, quote unquote, lobbying and speaking your mind. A lot of folks are trapped in a model that says foundations can't speak their mind because they're afraid of stepping over some invisible line that we are, for the most part, miles away from. We're nowhere near that line when what we do is exercise our right to speak. I've watched that for 20 plus years. We don't communicate well. And then the third piece is that there's a lot of preference in our society for shying away from controversy, and foundations reflect that. There's an aversion to drawing attention to yourself. There's an aversion to being yelled at. So for multiple reasons, I think our field tends to shy away from taking courageous stands and being outspoken and using the bully pulpit that we have. You know, what we're really good at is putting out studies. What we're really lousy at is then saying to our society and our communities, and here's what we ought to do as a result, or here's what they say about us as a people. And why? Because we're afraid of what that might create in terms of blowback towards us. We really have to get over ourselves, and we really have to get over the notion that any blowback we receive is damaging to the profession. I think our silence is damaging to the profession. In fact, our silence is damning, and it's way more than damaging.
Grant Oliphant, president of the Heinz Endowments and board member of the Center for Effective Philanthropy, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
It's been a pleasure, Amy. Thank you.
And that's Tiny Spark. We're going to continue this conversation in our next podcast. Our guest will be Lejeune Montgomery Tabron, president of the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, one of the nation's largest. She is also one of the few people of color leading a major foundation. We'll talk to her about that and her foundation's enterprise called Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation. If you want to read Grant Oliphant's blogs on racial justice, we've posted them on our website, tinyspark.org. Please leave a comment while you're there, or you can email us at ideas@tinyspark.org. What do you think philanthropy should be doing to tackle racial tensions in this country? Leave us your ideas, your questions, your concerns right on our website. And until our next podcast, please keep up with us on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at tinyspark_org. Today's program was produced by Amy Ta. Erica Barris recorded our guest in Pittsburgh. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Amy Costello.
This program was produced by Tiny Spark, which is solely responsible for its content. Tiny Spark is made possible by a grant from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation.